Well, it does start with each one of us, and tonight as we finish this service, we're sure been blessed by the preaching and the testimonies, the presentations this week from our missionary guests, but just the fellowship of God's people. And so many people in this world have no idea what they're missing because they've never experienced it. And a missions conference is to remind us that it's not just across the ocean that people need Christ, but it's across the street and around the corner. And we've been reminded of that this week. We're grateful for Brother Jeff Bush being here. And he's going to come and bring the final message of this conference tonight. God bless you, Brother Bush, as you preach for us.
I want to invite you to open your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Acts in chapter number 8. Acts in chapter number 8. It has surely been a blessing to be with you all this week, and I'm so thankful. I've enjoyed every aspect of it, from the fellowship to meeting the missionaries, to hearing the testimonies, to hearing the singing, the presentations. It's just been a wonderful time. And right when Wednesday came around, I thought, well, you know what? We have several days. This is going to be fun. And boy, it just seemed like, boy, it's gone. You know, I thought, wow, that went by so quickly. Well, I want to conclude this evening with a chapter in the book of Acts, chapter number 8. The story that you know so well. The book of Acts is a transitional book, leaving from the Gospels, jumping over into the epistles. And we see this book many times that we think about it. Many of the different, the wrong, false doctrines are actually taken out of this book because they do not understand. They kind of take it out of context. They misquote different things. But it's actually a beautiful book. It speaks of the growing of the church, the strengthening of the church, and wonderful things at it. Well, you remember in Acts chapter number 1, in verse number 8, the Bible once again gives the Great Commission. He says that y'all be my witnesses. Acts 1, verse number 8. Well, they begin to get comfortable. To be quite honest, I mean, Jerusalem, why leave? I mean, in Jerusalem, that's where our food is. That's where our friends are. That's where the family is. That's where our church is. That's where everything is happening. So they kind of forgot about Acts 1:8, that commission to go everywhere, and they stayed right where they were. Well, when we flip it around, here comes Acts number 8 and verse number 1. And now great persecution comes upon the church in Acts 8 and 1 and 2 and going on forward. Now God mixes things up because you see, God had never saved us so that we can hold it all in ourselves. And God has never given us the blessing so that we can just put it in our pockets. God has given it to us so that we can share it with other people. The church that does not evangelize will soon fossilize. And so God begins to shake the church up, and it flips from Acts 1:8 to over Acts 8:1, and God begins to say, I want the gospel out. Well, at this time, it begins to go everywhere, and now we see this story of Philip speaking to this Ethiopian man. So we take our text from there in Acts number 8, and let's do something a little bit unique, and let's read through this chapter, this passage very quickly. I'm going to read Acts number 8 and verse number 26. I'm going to ask you if you'll help me. We'll all read out loud verse number 27. I'll read verse number 28. We'll all read out loud verse number 29. We'll go all the way to verse number 35. You ready? Acts number 8, verse number 26, the Bible says this. The angel of the Lord, he spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. We come to verse number 27. Help me, we're all going to read it out loud. Ready? And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. I'll read verse number 28. He was returning and sitting in his chariot, he read Isaiah the prophet. Verse number 29, would you help me? Here we go. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Verse number 30, I'll read it. The Philip ran thither to him. He heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and he said, understandest thou what thou readest? Verse number 31, let's all read together. And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Verse number 32, I'll read it. The place of the scripture, which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before his shearer. He opened not his mouth. Verse number 33, let's all read it. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. I'll read 34. And the eunuch answered Philip, and he said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Verse number 35, let's all conclude it together. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Well, what a wonderful passage of scripture that we come to this evening. And If you have a pen there, well, let's grab it out. Let's maybe go through very quickly through here. And I want to show you just a couple things I think are very interesting. And within this passage, there's so many wonderful things. But I want to bring to your attention within this passage that we find two specific qualities, two specific items that were needed in the world in which they lived way back then. Coincidentally, they're the exact two things that our world needs today. So let's run through them one more time. The Bible says this, and we'll jump back to verse number 28. The Bible says that he was returning. He was sitting in his chariot, this man. He read, what does the Bible say? He read what? Isaiah. That's Isaiah, the major prophet, right? Well, in verse number 30. Philip ran thither to him, and he heard him. He read the prophet, what does it say? Isaiah. Well, that's once again, he's reading Isaiah, the prophet. Jump down to verse number 32. The place of the, would you say that next word? The place of the what? Scripture, the Bible says, which he read. Jump all the way down to verse number 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and he began at the same, would you say that next word with me? Began at the same what? Scripture. So we come to this passage and we see that there's something so special. Now the story goes that Philip is there. God has placed him there at the moment. And here comes this Ethiopian man. He's riding. He's kind of just the chauffeur as he's riding in the chariot there. And he's kind of guiding the buggy there as he comes into town with the queen. The queen had come there to Jerusalem to do some business maybe, take care of some things. And so sure enough, this man is coming and he's sitting there. And all of a sudden, as he comes there, she gets out. The queen, she runs on inside. She's doing some business. That man is sitting there. The Bible says while he is sitting there, he opened. Now, in that time, they didn't have the entire Word of God, the 66 books, the whole canon of Scripture, but they did have the large majority of all the Old Testament. We know at least they had a big portion of all the Psalms. They had many of the prophets. They had the books of the law. They had even that memorized. And so this man was a wealthier man. He was with the queen. And so sure enough, he had that scroll and he opened it up there. And as he opened the scroll, he begins to read. And the Bible said he began to read a specific place. He began to read in Isaiah. He had with him something so important. So important that it was needed back then. So important it's needed today. What he had and what the world needed, number one, was the message of Jesus Christ. Would you say that with me? What he needed, number one, was the message what? Of Jesus Christ. The message. The Word of God. It's what got in there and began to work and prepare in his heart like that fertile soil so that it can come and God can begin to do a work. He had the message. Now, I don't know about you, but every once in a while, I enjoy receiving maybe a text message or a Facebook message or whatever it may be. And it's wonderful. Somebody gives some encouraging words. But listen, what they needed back then and what they had was the message of Jesus Christ. The good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now listen, dear friends, you and I look around and we say, boy, there's a lot of problems in the world today. I mean, you look at the political situation. Boy, you look at all around and boy, what a bunch of chaos on the news and what a bunch of chaos all around. But listen, dear friends, our world does not need just a better political leader. Our world does not need just to send more humanitarian efforts and say, give them some bread, give them some money, let's better their education, let's build the walls bigger. You know, we have all these ideas, but what the world needs is the message of Jesus Christ. This right here, friend, it'll break the heart of stone. It'll change a life from darkness up until life. God wants to do something special, and he speaks through his word. The message of Jesus Christ. It's very interesting. We can go through so many passages, but the Bible teaches us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 21, it's by the foolishness of preaching that they can be saved. God uses something, his word, and while you and I may speak of the second coming of Jesus Christ, many around the world has never heard of the first coming. Brother Dallas said, it's not because they rejected, but because they never heard. What the world needs, dear friends, let me just say, not just the world, but what even you and I need, we need the message of Jesus Christ. It can change our lives. It can change everything about us. Dear friends, let me tell you, we as children of God, we know where we're going when we die, but we need to get into the Word of God. Every day we need to fill ourselves. It's everything for us. The Word of God will change our lives. God wants to do something special. Jump into His Word. I've seen wonderful testimony, wonderful things happen. And you know what happens? When they get a hold of the message, God begins to do the work. God's got some wonderful plans. So what the world needed, what our world needs, number one, is the message of Jesus Christ. Would you say that to me? What does the world need? Number one, what is it? The message of Jesus Christ. They need what God has. And yes, the gospel is good news. But I ask you, is it good news if it doesn't arrive in time? They need the message. We need the message. We need to grow. But go back with me in this passage very quickly. The Bible says this, Acts chapter number 8, verse number 26, that first verse there. Would you look at it? The Bible says, and the angel of the Lord, he spake unto, would you say that next word? He spake unto who? Philip. Now, who was Philip? Philip, was he the great one of the 12 apostles? No, he wasn't. Philip, was he the pastor in Jerusalem? No. Was he the pastor in Antioch? No. Who was Philip? Was he some great orator of the time with Apollos and with Peter? Who was Philip? Well, Philip was nothing else than one of those seven men that were chosen back in Acts chapter number 6. Philip was a volunteer. He was one of those men who said, sure, you know, he was chosen to clean up the tables, to watch after the widows. But he went in there and he said, you know what? I think I can do something. And he walked out there and he began to be used. Now listen, and what that man needed, what Ethiopian man needed, what the world needed, they needed the message of Jesus Christ. But listen, they could not have the message without having a messenger. Philip was just a volunteer. He was a simple man, but God began to use him. Would you go very quickly to the book of Romans in chapter number 10 with me? Now you know this passage oh so well. It's a wonderful verse. Probably haven't memorized, but I want you to see it very quickly. Romans chapter number 10. Look what the Bible says here. The next book after the book of Acts, we find the book of Romans. Chapter number 10. Look what the Bible says. Acts chapter 10, verse number 13. Quickly, the Bible says this. Acts chapter 10, verse number 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, what's going to happen? How many of you believe that God can save absolutely anybody? I do. You know, I remember when I was in Argentina, God began to work. There was a young man. His name was Mauricio. And Mauricio, he worked in the jail system. And he would come and he would tell me, Pastor, you know, these men got saved in jail. I said, praise the Lord. I mean, he flew through. I mean, he was growing. Boy, God was using him. He took his discipleship. Man, he was growing. He was reading his Bible. He began to be faithful at church. And he was working out there. And so he would share the gospel in the jail. He'd come back and tell me. And I mean, over and over, Pastor, 10 people got saved. And I said, man, that's awesome. He'd come back, Pastor, next week, this many people got saved. And I said, praise the Lord. Man, I would love to see it one time. And he come up and he said, Pastor, would you go with me to jail sometime? I said, well, you have to get all the paperwork and see if it's going to work out. And I said, I would love to, but, you know, you do your part. And so sure enough, he come back one day and he said, I got all the paperwork. They said that they'll let you in. Just fill out that. They're going to give you a document and you go in like that. And I said, boy, this is going to be awesome. So sure enough, I filled out the paperwork. They gave me this document. I walked there and I remember, man, I walked there and the security was just crazy in this jail. We went outside the city. I mean, a big old giant, you know, fences, razor wire. The guards are everywhere. Everybody's got big old machine guns. They keep their finger on the trigger. I'm thinking, you got to be kidding. Somebody sneezes and shoots about 20 people. I mean, like, good night. What are you thinking? Who's teaching these guys, you know? Man, I walk up there, and I remember I showed them my document, walked through the first gate. They let me in. There was another gate. I walked through another. I remember I got through a couple different gates. I was scared to death. Man, I walked through a couple different gates, and there were some men that were standing out on the outside. They had been better as men in the jail there, and prisoners, they'd been better, so they had this, they were taking care of the yard and stuff. So I remember walking over, and this guy walks over, and he said, you must be Pastor Jeffrey. And I said, that's me. How do we know each other? I was thinking, Lord, you know I was down the wrong path when I was younger, man. But God, I have not been in jail in Argentina. What's going on? And I looked, I said, how do we know each other? And he said, oh, Mauricio wanted me to the Lord. I said, well, praise the Lord. That's great. Tell me a little bit about it. Man, I meet another guy. And he said, yeah, you must be the pastor. I said, yeah. And he said, man, Mauricio wanted me the Lord. I thought, man, this is just great. I didn't know really whether to believe him or not. And so sure enough, another guy come up and I said, what? Tell me a little bit about how it worked. You know, I want to find out, you know, how these guys got saved. He said, well, Mauricio's a dentist here in the jail. I said, yeah, I know that. He said, in the middle of the night, some of the guys, I mean, they just, boy, they get a toothache. And they'll say, a guard, come over here. And the guard will come over. And they say, man, I got this toothache. And they'll wake up the dentist, the infirmary there. And they'll take us in. And they say, we go into this big old room. It's a dark room. And right in the middle, there's this big chair. We'll sit right there. Mauricio comes in and he says, sit down. And we sit down in that chair and he leans it all the way back. And he says, open your mouth. We open our mouth and he gets these sharp instruments and knives and stuff. And he puts it in our mouth and he begins to look around. And he says, let me ask you something. If you died today, do you know where you're going? He says, about everybody gets saved like that. And then he just laughed. You got to be creative. Amen. Do what you got to do. But you know what? I mean, God was doing something wonderful. I walked in this room. They put all these pavilions. All these men came in this giant room, and I would stand up there. Man, I was scared to death. All these men. I had no idea why they were there. I didn't want to know why they were there. I would look, and I would say, the Bible says that all men are sinners. And everybody's looking at me. I'm like, yeah, you know that. Well, you know, I'm like, what in the world do I say now? You know, man, I was scared to death. We come to the very end, and I go to the invitation, and all these men, I mean, just a bunch of men, they would raise their hand over and over. And I said, wow, God is working. Listen, I've seen people from the wickedest and vilest places get saved. God can save absolutely anybody, can he? But before you and I get all so high and mighty and say, yeah, he can save the bat. Listen, dear friend, you were on your way to hell just like they were. And God reached down and saved you as well. Amen. God is good. So the Bible says, whosoever, absolutely anybody. There's not an elite group. Fooey on that stuff. God wants to save them all. Amen. Whosoever called the name of the Lord, they can be saved. God wants to save them. But listen, part of hermeneutics, part of studying it, is grabbing it, not just one verse. We got to take it in its context. Look down after verse number 13. We find verse number 14. So Romans chapter 10 and verse number 14, and this is what the Bible says. You know this, but look at what it says here. Romans 10 verse number 14. The Bible says, how then shall they call on him in whom they've not heard, not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a, next word, would you say it with me? What is it? Preacher. A preacher? Who's the preacher? Oh, okay. So that means a pastor, somebody standing back there. That's a male figure of 1 Timothy chapter 3. We know who that is. No, 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 no. This word preacher is nothing more than a proclaimer. Someone who opens their mouth. It can be a boy or a girl. It can be a man or it can be a woman. It can be a single or it can be a married. It doesn't matter who it is. Absolutely anyone that will just open their mouth and proclaim the word of God. So here's what it says. Anybody can be saved. And we said, praise the Lord, they can be saved. Then he says, good, but how in the world are they going to be saved if they haven't believed? How are they going to believe if they haven't heard? How are they going to hear if one of us do not open our mouths and share the gospel? You see how, what did the world need back then? They needed the message of the gospel. And we would say, yes, they did. And yes, we do today. But listen, they cannot have the message without the messenger. Messengers that'll say, God, here I am. And so I plead with you this evening on our conclusion on our last night. Where are the Samuels who will say, speak for thy servant heareth? Where are the Davids who will say, I'm just a shepherd boy, but God, if you want to use me. Where are the Isaiahs who will say, here am I, Lord, send me. Where are the apostle Pauls who said, what wilt thou have me to do, dear Lord? Where are the Ezekiels who will say, I stand in the gap. Where are the volunteers? If I was to take up here and line up all the missionaries, not just the ones that are represented here tonight, but all the missionaries that are on the mission field. Statistically, they say, I don't know if this is exactly right, but this will give you an idea. Of all the missionaries that are on the mission field, they say, take all the missionaries up to half point. 50% of all the missionaries, they say, are actually missionary kids. Doesn't mean all missionary kids are going to be missionaries, but those that are on the field today, 50% of them are actually missionary children. Another 35% of the missionaries that are represented, that are serving God on the field, are actually preacher kids. Doesn't mean every pastor's kid is a missionary, but out of those that are serving on the field, 50% are missionary kids. 35%, another 35% are actually preacher's kids, meaning that there's only 15%. Listen, please understand very respectfully, only 15% are people with parents not in the ministry. And I ask, where are the volunteers? Messengers that'll take the gospel all around the world. Messengers that'll take the gospel across the street. Sadly, I read this book not long ago, wonderful book, and it says this in the book, that less than 2% of our gospel preaching churches, 2% of the congregation, 2% of the people in the churches are actually witnessing for Jesus Christ. How are they going to hear if we don't tell them, dear friends? My wife and I, went through deputation. We finished college and we went through deputation and we spent some time on the road and we were having a wonderful time. It was like an extended honeymoon. Man, I mean, it was great. I mean, my wife and I, we'd go. I had this little bitty Saturn, 1990 Saturn. I mean, it was just wonderful because I sit right here. I mean, it was so small I can reach the door. And my wife couldn't get away if she wanted to get away. I mean, it was awesome. And so we drove down that road, 5-speed, you know. I mean, my dad bought it for, I think, $50 from my aunt because my My cousin never poured oil in it. And my dad, he can do anything with the car. I can do nothing with the car. My dad can do everything. And so he fixed it up and he said, son, I got it all to work. Third gear doesn't work, but the rest of the car works. Have you ever pop that baby in. I mean, it was great stuff, man. Half the other gears didn't work either. Man, I had a good old time on that baby. And man, I mean, I was going down the road. Well, I remember we went from June, we went all the way through the year of 2000, from June to the end. And we did deputation all of 2001 before we headed to the mission field. I remember we come towards the end part of 2001. We were in Atlanta. We were on the south part. And I remember we walked into this church. And we were walking in there. It was September of 2001. I remember we walked into this church. And I remember there were several different missionaries. And the pastor got up and he said, everybody come down here. All the missionaries came down. And he said, missionaries, get on your knees. Begin to pray. Our country's under attack. I had no idea what he's talking about. To be quite honest, I thought, you know, he's a conspiracy theorist, you know, he's read some crazy books or watched a weird movie, you know, I mean, I don't know what's going on, but like, okay, Lord, please help our country. I didn't know what I was praying about. Well, I remember we got up from there and we left from there and we got into the vehicle and we took off and we turned on the radio and every radio station, it was September 11, 2001, every radio station, they've hit the first tower, they're going after the second, our country's under attack. I mean, you flipped it, there was no other news, there was no other sports, there was nothing, every radio station, it was all talking about the same thing. We left there and we went up to Indiana, Richmond, Indiana, where my wife is from, and I remember we get there and my brother-in-law and his wife, we were doing deputation at the same time, and they were there, and I looked at my brother-in-law, we just got out of college, I looked at my brother-in-law, and man, I said, I can't believe this, and we turned on the TV and President Bush was in the administration at that time and he comes on and I remember talking, I looked at my brother-in-law, I said, all he has to do is say, we need soldiers. We need volunteer. Buddy, I'm a red-blooded American. Yes, sir, give me a gun. I don't know which way I'll shoot him. Give me a gun. I'll go anywhere. I'll do anything, man. I mean, I was ready to roll. The country was almost at its knees. We were praying. There was something happening. God was doing a work. I remember that time. And you know, when someone important stands up and says, we need help, we need volunteers, we need the President of the United States, man, we are ready. Yes, sir. I mean, what do we need? I mean, we'll do whatever you need. But listen, dear friends, when it comes to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords saying, I've got a commission, I'm coming back soon, I want you to get out there and do all that you can, all of a sudden we become very busy. Well, God, I'm raising my kids. I mean, come on, give me a while. God, I've got a job to do. God, I mean, I've got so many things. God, I'm busy. I got to take care of the house. I got to take care of everything. And many times when the Lord speaks up, we're too busy. The same problem today is the same problem way back then, that the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. So I ask you this evening, very quickly, you know, the problem has never been the message. It's a double-edged sword, buddy. It does the job wherever. God wants to do a wonderful work. The problem is not the message. The problem is the lack of messengers that will take the message. So simply I ask this evening, will you be a messenger right here in your city? Will you be a messenger across the world? One man, Oswald J. Smith, said, either go or send a substitute, but you still must have part in the Great Commission. So I plead with you tonight, the message, it works. I stood up there in Argentina and swung that around, and God did a wonderful work. These missionaries are going to head to the field, and you're going to see people saved in Burkina Faso, and people saved in China, people saved in Thailand, Scandinavia. God's going to do a marvelous work. You know why? It's not about them. It's about this book. God wants to do a work.
Amen.
But listen, dear friends, if we don't have messengers to take the message, it lies dormant in one spot. So may we do our part to take the message of Jesus Christ. It's what our world needs. Can we pray?